Nobody supports gun violence, right? I mean, nobody wants violent actors, and we don't want guns in the hands of people that have committed felons, right? So we could start by one thing, in a city of the first class, we could have a DA that actually prosecutes crimes and goes after people that are committing crimes with guns, right? And actually puts those individuals away.
You're listening to Talking with Doyle with State Representative Doyle Heffley. As always, we're joined by Andrew Forgotch, along with producer Chuck on the ones and twos. Andrew, what are we talking about today?
Oh, thanks, Chuck. Well, we are here on Talking with Doyle to ask Doyle the questions that get him talking. One of the big talking points starting today, Doyle, you're just coming off the House floor, where gun debate was a big topic of conversation, a very heated topic of conversation. And that's what people have been focused on this week. A lot of passions on both sides of the aisle. Just overall, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, public safety, and I'll say it all the time, all Pennsylvanians want to live in a safe community, right? We all want to be able to, whether we ride the bus, whether we drive to work, come home, live in a safe community, know that your kids are safe in the community when you're out shopping or anything. We've seen some of the tragic incidences that have happened throughout the nation recently. Unfortunately, these bills that the Democrats have put up, I voted against each one of them, are the same tried bills that have been before the House now for the last 10 years. There's no new ideas. They're all bills that are designed to take away your Second Amendment rights. Really do nothing to address public safety. You know, standing with law enforcement, stopping no bail bond, right? Stopping these district attorneys who aren't prosecuting crimes, doing more for mental health. And I've advocated for that as the chairman of the Human Service Committee, making sure that people that need help and treatment are going to get it for mental health disorders. But at the same time, you know, shutting down state hospitals and putting people out on the streets that have issues. I mean, they didn't talk at all about the tragic situation that happened in North Carolina, where a young lady was stabbed by somebody who really should have been in jail, who had severe mental health issues. The family was more or less begging law enforcement to put him in prison. But that wouldn't have been addressed by anything in any of these bills. And it's just, you know, more of the same, just blame, you know, attacking the Second Amendment and trying to take away people's rights. And that's not going to make us safer. Right. There's bad people in our society, and they should be in prison. People that need help with mental health should be in facilities that can give them that help. And this legislation would have done nothing for that. I voted against each one of these proposals. But unfortunately, once again, the Democrat majority in the state House chose to try to score political points with their base instead of actually addressing the issues. Right. We still don't have a budget. The Senate passed a budget bill which would fund and get these dollars out. We could have done that this week. Here we are, the first day of October, and instead of looking at how do we finally get this budget done that they should have had done in June, Governor gets stuff done, hasn't got it done, and instead we're running bills that failed. They didn't even have the votes on their side of the aisle to pass, and all it did was very disruptive on the House floor, and you had an individual who stood up on the House floor and was totally out of order. The Speaker should have gaveled him down earlier than she did, and it wound up being disorder there. And the PA House is an institution. It's the oldest General Assembly in North America. We have a decorum on the House floor, and I've talked about this in the past, how we conduct business, how we treat each other with respect. We can agree to disagree on issues, and some of these issues are very passionate. However, we have to conduct ourselves in a manner that's respectful to the institution and respectful to those folks that elected us to send us here.
We talked about this last week on Talking with Doyle about the death of Charlie Kirk, how unfortunate that was. He was someone who promoted an open and honest debate. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've steered away from that already less than 1 week after.
Oh, yeah. I think there's some people that speak on the House floor that don't care anything about open or honest debate. There's people that would shut down debate. As a society, we have to talk about these subjects. And it's not just about sound bites and passion, but you got to be articulate and come up with solutions to problems. Not just running bills that we know are going to fail, that the prime sponsor knows is going to fail, just to try to score political points and point fingers and blame. And then to act like some of the members did on the House floor today, It's just not acceptable. I've come to respect the institution. I've always have. But there are many people that have done their life's work to preserve this institution and what we do. And a debate like this, which is unnecessary when we have so many other bigger topics to talk about.
I want to focus you on there a little bit more to ask you the direct question. Three of those four measures failed, those gun bills. What are some strategies you would have had to maybe address some of those issues that House Democrats, brought up?
Nobody supports gun violence, right? I mean, nobody wants violent actors, and we don't want guns in the hands of people that have committed felons, right? So we could start by one thing. In a city of the first class, we could have a DA that actually prosecutes crimes and goes after people that are committing crimes with guns, right, and actually puts those individuals away. Back in the 90s, Bill Clinton, who was a Democrat, worked on legislation to increase more law enforcement on the street. You have some individuals that don't support law enforcement. Some people that are representatives in the state house or elected officials, some even in the DAs in certain counties that don't support their law enforcement. We got to back our law enforcement. We've seen the tragic issue that happened in York County. I spoke about it last week. When you're interacting with law enforcement, you know, just know that, you know, they're in today's society, just be polite, be respectful. If they ask you for something, just give them your information and just respect them. I think we can do that, you know, live by in a way that's going to be more respectful of our law enforcement and supporting our elected officials that are going to ensure that our laws are enforced. And when a crime's committed, that those individuals are going to be taken away. There's certain people, as we saw in North Carolina with that terrible stabbing, that maybe shouldn't be walking the streets. And societies across the world and across the globe and throughout history have realized that. And we have more forensic opportunities. We have more evidence to find those people that commit these crimes and put them away so they don't commit more crimes. And that I think, is what we should be focused on and supporting our law enforcement. And at the same time, bringing civility into these discussions. Instead of ranting, going on rants to score some kind of cheap political points that are going to be, it's a flash in a pan, here today, gone tomorrow, but you're not solving anything. I really like to solve problems and work on solutions.
Doyle, luckily for supporters of the Second Amendment, three of those four measures that Democrats brought up this week have failed. One thing that did not fail, though, is your resolution to recognize September as National Recovery Month. We're obviously recording this on October 1st, mm-hmm. but talk to me about why this was so important and why we continue to talk about recovery, because we know that recovery does not end on September 30th.
Yeah, I mean, resolutions, I think, are important, a resolution to recognize Recovery Month. And recovery, for folks that live in recovery, it's every day, right? It's something that they focus on. And we want to make sure that we're giving them the support that they need. Because recovery is an option. Addiction, if left untreated, will always be fatal. And so we want to provide the hope through recovery. So there's people in faith, recovery churches. There's a lot of providers out there that work in this field. And it's a tough field. I mean, we lost in 2023, we lost approximately 4,719 Pennsylvanians to overdoses. In 2024, those numbers have come down a little bit. It's 3,335. So that's And that's awesome, right? We were up over 5,000, 6,000 deaths a year, so we're seeing that decline. And one of the ways that we're doing that is we passed a lot of legislation to deal with the opioid crisis, but now encouraging people in recovery, and whether that be for an opioid addiction, a methamphetamine, alcohol addiction, whatever that addiction is, providing them the resources that they need so they can be successful in their recovery. And that's what this resolution is all about. Recognizing as a month, we've had a lot of different events here in Harrisburg. Providers have come up. Last week, we had Carbon Monroe Pike Drug and Alcohol, which is a single county authority for drug and alcohol prevention and recovery in Carbon County. They were handing out Narcan on my front porch. It's called the Lazarus drug to revive people. But then after we get people revived, the biggest thing we're going to do is get them into recovery. We have drug courts in Carbon County and these specialty courts, which actually take people when they're interacting with law enforcement. And getting them, okay, you're going to go through a treatment program and through this drug court program, or you're going to, you know, be incarcerated, and kind of encouraging them as forcefully as we can to get into recovery and then help them along that path to recovery. And that's what this resolution is about. And it was co-primed, sponsored by Chairman Dan Williams from Chester County, my Democratic counterpart on the Human Service Committee, because recovery affects everybody. I know Republicans that are in recovery. I know Democrats that are in recovery. I know independents that are in recovery. So this is something that you know, we should be paying attention to. It's something that we can do to help people.
And you have an event coming up here in just a few weeks on Wednesday, October 15th, where you're really promoting recovery.
We have our Family Resource and Addiction Prevention Expo coming up in October 15th. And basically, it's at CCTI. It's in the evening. It coincides with their Meet the Teacher Night. So if you want to learn about tech schools and some of the opportunities they have there. But at the same time, we're going to have a lot of providers and folks that are going to be there talking about not only about it. So if you need resources to find out maybe a provider that provides recovery or addiction services, but it's also about prevention, right? So we have a mock bedroom that they set up in which you can walk through, and it will tell parents, you know, what to be on the lookout for if you think your teen or your young adult might have some paraphernalia. What to be on the lookout for. Yep. And then if you do, hey, you can talk to, there's a lot of resources in the community and connecting them to that. Because unfortunately, as a parent, you know, and as you look at society, kids that are in high school, in junior high school, and sometimes in elementary school are going to be exposed to this, whether it be in school, in the community, but these drugs and alcohol are out there in our community, and we need to make sure that our children are aware of it and what to do if they encounter it. But at the same time, as parents, we need to have the information and knowledge of what's out there, because it's forever changing.
And one last thing before we end this podcast,
okay,
is we can't end a Talking with Doyle podcast without talking about the state budget.
Yeah.
Very little progress we've seen publicly anyways this week. They did pass on second that Senate Bill 160, mm-hmm. the one that would again fund the program, the county school programs, to at least get the money flowing there. But
yeah, I mean, that's the key. I mean, the Senate passed a budget, the same budget as last year, so it would hold the line, everything, and get those dollars that are here, being collected by the state, get those dollars back out to our counties, to our school districts, and our communities, to make sure our aging programs, our human service programs, our school district programs are not going to be affected. If they have to take out loans, historically in the past when budgets went over, counties and other folks had to take out loans, they were paid back with interest. So that just costs the Pennsylvania taxpayers more, but it wouldn't put that burden on the counties. But we would like to see this get done. Interesting, even last year's budget, but the governor wanted to spend last year, and this is where people have to understand why this budget is taking so long. The governor is still holding on to his $52 billion spend, right? We collect about $46 billion. That's what we take in taxes. So if we're spending 52, we're deficit spending, and that's going to lead to massive tax increases. Even with the governor's budget last year, what we collect now still wouldn't be enough to fund it. You're still looking at about $1.5 billion, $2 billion budget shortfall that would be paid out of the rainy day fund. What we need to do is get these dollars out, but then we also need to come up with measures that are going to grow this economy to fill that gap in, because there's two ways that you make up for that deficit. You either have economic growth and economic activity, so to increase your taxes coming into the Commonwealth, or you raise taxes. We have seen the appetite for this Democratic majority in the State House to raise taxes. They've proposed that several times in the past. I don't think that's what the Pennsylvania people want. They want tax relief. They want property tax reform, property tax relief, property tax elimination. They don't want more gas taxes. They don't want more payroll taxes. They don't want higher property taxes. So in order to do that, we need to control spending, make sure we're prioritizing where those dollars are being spent, while at the same time, we need to enact measures that are going to grow this economy so that the capitalism can fill that void and people have good paying jobs with benefits. They won't be relying on Medicaid. That's a focus that we have in our caucus. It's unfortunate we're here in October. This should have been done in June.
But you're here again in Harrisburg. You were here for 3 days.
Yeah.
A lot of colleagues are going back to their districts. Yeah. You're ready to vote on it.
Yeah, I'm ready to vote on a budget. I'll be here. I can vote tomorrow on a budget that would be balanced, drive out those dollars and not raise taxes. I don't foresee that's going to happen tomorrow, but we're ready to go. We're ready to get this done.
All right. Well, those are Doyle's thoughts for today, and we'll join again Doyle next week on the next Talking with Doyle podcast. But those are your thoughts from Doyle. We'd love to hear what are yours. You can leave them in the comments below to keep the conversation going.